Bonjour à la episode 16, BPR 6. Je m'appelle Seth, aka Dr. Bitches.
That was awful.
Yeah, my French is rusty. Who are you?
Je m'appelle Betty.
There we go.
Or should I go?
I missed my mic.
I broke mic.
Should I go for a different language other than French?
Yes.
Yes.
Spanish or Japanese?
Japanese.
No test no my Betty, yes sir.
Yeah, what he said.
Nobody cares about secondary American.
Mi nombre es Miguel.
Yo, Carol Taco Bell.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Bin Bhutan!
There we go.
I like it. Goran?
Well, you know, because everybody else did something in some strange foreign gibberish.
You're just Klingon.
I'm Duncan! Welcome to Battle Plan Roll 6's episode 16.
Oh, Duncan went native.
Y'all? I figure since everyone else is foreign today, I'll be normal. I, as always, am Duncan, and the rest of us are here. We also have two very special guests. We have James, all the way down from Denver.
Jimmy.
Hello.
Who is currently eating. And we have Corin, all the way from Kentucky, just like the rest of us.
Oh, wow, he came a long way.
Thank you
for some coming so far, Corin. We appreciate it.
I came from the parking lot.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Jack is not with us at this time. He will hopefully be arriving later. If not, then, we'll just deal.
Jack shows up when Jack wants to show up.
Yes, he does.
I'm the only thing. Dibs on his stuff if he doesn't make it.
Oh, we hate you so much, Betty. Unfortunately, also Connor and Zach will not be attending tonight. I'm not certain why Ron Weasley isn't here, or why our resident...
Ron had a tragic Aliens game accident.
Did it involve the one that's for the Xbox?
Yes.
Because if so, that was honestly a very, very close call for tonight for myself as well.
That sounds more like a diarrhea incident.
So bad.
Parasitic infection.
Yeah, but it is a parasitic infection, actually, strangely enough.
Is it any good?
Yes. Oh, yes.
So, next Thursday, I'm crashing at your house?
Sure, that's fine. We'll happily play Aliens all night long. I don't care.
One question. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, Aliens is an awesome game.
Apparently, they're talking about playing
Aliens. I know Aliens is a terrible game. Never mind. I'll shut up now.
Yep, well done.
I played Aliens versus
Spider. So, what's new this week, guys?
It wasn't bad. What?
I have that.
What's new this week?
Yeah.
Well, let's go with Je m'appelle Sethicus, or Dr. Bitches.
Your name's not Seth or Dr. Bitches.
I said, let's go with you.
No, he didn't.
He said, no.
I don't know what my foreign language is.
Let's go with my name is Sethicus.
Let's go with Seth and see what the hell he did.
I did nothing. Betty?
I put together a Stuka.
Wait, the reason I did nothing is because I'm waiting for the demon book to come out. There we go. I had a reason why, because I'm not doing anything until I find out all my crap sucks now. Mm.
Who's writing it?
We don't know.
Let's hope it's Matt Ward. And then all your demons will be demons of Ultramarines.
I don't want a huge amount of people playing demons because they're broken again.
They will be Gilliman Ultramarine flavored demons. But I'll be blue.
So can I take storm shields on all my demons?
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Flying storm shields.
Betty, you put together a Stuka?
I actually bought all the wannabe tanks I'm going to need. I realized something. The scale I bought is too big. The Panzerhaus I bought was halfway between a Lehmann-Russ and halfway between Landraider size.
Ooh.
It's a little bit too big.
What scale did you get them in?
I'm just having to buy a Thunderhawk.
Which means I just have to go down to 48.
But can you return the ones you got?
I was going to keep them anyway. I love building scale models.
That's fair.
I think the Hanomag may work in 135. The thing with everything is it's longer than the 40K. Because 40K does really boxy designs.
Well, yeah.
So anything that use that has a real world base is going to be longer.
Yeah.
No matter what.
The thing you have alternate tanks and things like that for 40K. Does anybody remember the hoax recut of the Rust that was going around a few years ago?
Yes.
Made out of plastic card and cardboard and looking like a smaller version of the Bane Blade.
And I loved it. And I really wish it had been real.
If I had the money to pay someone who could to build it for me, I would own like 10 of them.
Yeah, that was an awesome model. The good thing is that
with magnetized turbines.
That guy put out the...
he put out the blueprints. Yep. I just don't want to do it.
Yeah, no, I hate working with plastic art.
Yeah.
Mike?
I want to talk about it.
What did you do, Mike, and why did you have to do it?
Well, Duncan, let's see. I'm rebuilding my Nid army, which is, so far I have built two Trigons, two Trevigons, four Hive Guard, and halfway painted half of that.
Please, Mike, tell us why.
Why, Mike, why?
On the great and glorious last weekend, my last car was broken into. Was it last weekend?
2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago. My car was broken into, and all of my Exorcists were stolen. All those custom models I put together, I guess you can call them custom or kit bash, whatever.
Kish bash.
All those were stolen, and a bunch of my Tyranids were gone.
You still had your bucket of guns.
Redo everything. Yeah, they thought they were getting guns.
Is that why they
What else did they get, Mike?
They got my brand new gun.
So,
They were right. They got a bag full of guns. They're just small and made of plastic.
Well, yeah. Mike gets a hold of them. They're going to get more than a bag full of guns.
Get my foot up there. Beep.
No, it's okay, Mike. Right, yeah. We don't have to censor ourselves anymore. You know we're explicit.
No, Mike is going to insist that they give the guns back, but they're welcome to help themselves with the bullets.
Yes.
Give them back.
You can have as many of the bullets as you want to your groin. Well, we did apparently find the security footage.
And?
There was a guy and a girl. I go to pick up my copy of it on Tuesday. So
we're going to have a party and watch it?
Yes, and then we're all going to find them and
Movie night?
Torture them horribly.
Movie night?
That being said, if anybody can, all you who listen to us, you keep an eye out. I'm pretty sure they're in the trash, but if you guys happen to see any, shoot us an email. I'd appreciate it.
Turns out it was Jack and Chris.
Oh.
Storm's wasting my time.
I am sorry that your stuff got stolen. I am very sorry that your stuff got stolen because, you know, it always sucks when an army gets stolen.
Tell us more, Duncan.
Yeah. No, I'm done.
Do y'all want this?
No, we're good. Screw that base. Let's see here. What have I done this past 2 weeks or whatever? I painted something like 23 Dark Angels Terminators. And below. Who is a pigeon-toed, looks like he has to pee, ugly model. Yeah, that's all.
He doesn't have to pee. He's a Fremen.
Yeah, no, I didn't paint him for me. Because I don't want to play Dark Angels. I'm perfectly happy with Chaos.
How about you, Woden?
Oh, let's see. Last week or so, I mean, this past week, I've converted up 30 models for what will become a portion of the 40K team tournament army. I don't know if we're discussing details of the army on the podcast or not, so we'll just leave it at 30 models converted. I'm kind of tired. Before that, I converted probably another 30 or 40, you know, model 30 plus models for my Space Wolf pre-heresy army to update them all for 6th ed, so I can now field a whole mess of that, though. As of today, I've got 3 new drop pods to assemble and paint, or to strip and paint, so, one step forward, 2 steps back.
Yep.
God, overachiever.
What?
Make us all look bad.
Yeah, no,
people
right?
People from Denver in that high altitude, God. Take it back. I don't want to catch it.
I know Jack's not here, but I know he's done some things as well.
Like?
He's done some Skull Crushers for Fantasy. He did a lot of stuff for Fantasy. For the team tournament up in the DeathCon this year.
He's done a lot of painting.
Yes. He loves his airbrush. He hasn't done anything for 40K that I can think of recently. It's pretty much been mostly Fantasy. We're waiting to see what happens. Hey, see the devil. He can kill us himself.
Jack!
Jack! We need you!
Introduce yourself from there and speak up.
Hi! Jack's here!
There we go. Jack's
Jack,
here.
Jack, you gotta do it in different language.
Hola! ¿Cómo te llamas el Jacko? Aquí! Mucho gracias, señores and señoritas!
Best intro ever. Thank you, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
De nada.
Wait, Jack, before you go.
See?
What have you done recently?
Yeah, we're at that.
All I got, all I can remember was fantasy things.
Bought a gun.
At 40,
that's not 40K.
That's not 40K.
Still awesome.
It is still awesome. I think we lost Jack.
He got distracted.
Hit a poop.
Nope, he's got to have a chair.
Oh, we needed a chair.
He got 3. No, 2.
So how you guys been?
We've got 3 chairs. We got a problem with 3 chairs?
The answer would be fine.
Good. Yeah.
That's all I got.
We're just waiting to find out what you've been doing.
In all honesty, got my replacement model for Anchorage, the Ever Chosen.
Who's that? Archaon.
Archaon. It's fantasy. Anchor, whatever. They sent me.
Archaon the Ever Chosen. He can see Alaska, or he can see Russia from his house.
He can. See here, they sent me
fancy version of Abaddon.
A horse with the half of a horse with a butt cheek.
So
and
it's a model GW half-assed it on.
Yeah, and they gave me the other half finally. And let's see here, and I got a new cape part of it, and that's all they sent me. So I'm happy.
They just sent you the horse cheek and the cape.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Bastards.
Yep, and I've got the framework done for the most part for my disc of Zinch.
You did your Skull Crushers too, since we did this last one.
I have.
Yes.
I don't remember what I had done the last one.
You didn't really have anything done.
Okay, whatever.
You had that one test model done that I told you very bad things about.
Oh, yeah. That's all I got.
But, yeah.
Well, congratulations. Between you and James, things actually happened.
I put together Stuka.
You don't
James,
count.
You're awesome.
It's actually the right size.
Yeah, right, I'm awesome.
I got some stuff done.
I make shit happen.
Change.
Well, go ahead, Corin.
I got tired
Speak
of fucking
up.
Putting my stuff together however he felt like it. So I pulled together a jet fighter and a Vindicator and some scouts, and that was it.
Well, that's better than nothing.
I tried to put together Azrael, but since he's made of crappy metal, I really wanted to just throw him across the room.
Throw him metal. Look at that box back there and all those demons. You'll see a bunch of metal.
That's fine. Can I throw him across the room?
Hit someone in the head to probably cause him have a little bit of brain damage.
Oh, in
or
that case.
I think that's just my blood crushers.
I'm going to throw it against somebody else then, because there's nobody in this room that would do any good to.
Yeah, I don't think it would affect anybody here.
No, especially not Jack. Calcified forehead.
Is this what I get for being late?
No? Okay.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Headbutting competition yesterday.
This is a paint stick.
Really?
Taped to a paint stick.
Really?
Used for painting.
Used to beat Duncan. It was working really well, actually.
This is not mine.
I left home for this?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
And you do it again.
Okay. That's all I get.
So, all right, we're good.
You did nothing. I put together that model. Connor put... Corey put
together
thing.
Connor. I like Connor better.
Oh.
Connor Sr.
Duncan did some things.
Could be his dad.
Dave did some things. Mike got his shit taken. Seth got a medal.
Oh, he's dead.
Oh. We'll be back after I'm done beating some ass.
All right, so now we're going to talk about random news throughout the interwebs. See here, spot the Space Marine and all that cluster that GW got themselves into that resulted into them deleting their Facebook page.
Wait, was that a direct result?
They were getting flamed, like, really bad. Overall.
Every single thing they posted was...
Because of Spy.
Being
That's
covered.
The bad stuff.
And it wasn't even 40K gamers. It was, like, regular, like,
Will
Scalzi. John Scalzi, the author, logged onto the thing, added them or liked them, and then was flaming them on everything they did. I think it was Scalzi.
It was Spots.
Michael Z. Williamson, a couple others, a whole bunch of real, actual authors
but
were flaming them over it.
Don't people do that anyway on their Facebook page before this?
Isn't that what Facebook's
not,
for?
Not with, like, multiple thousand flames.
Okay.
And plus it was being covered by, you know, BBC News and...
Yeah.
It was being covered by real
getting,
news, not
yeah.
40K news.
Yeah.
It was getting actual retail news outlets.
Yeah.
So they, took it off because they were going to focus more on their store Facebook pages.
Focus, yeah.
Translation, we're tired of getting yelled at, let's delete this so they don't have a medium to scream at us directly where everybody can see.
So the internet.
Yes.
It works.
You can't delete the internet.
I believe if GW could, they would.
Excuse me? GW owns the internet. They can do whatever
yeah,
they want.
Yeah, it's trademarked, copyrighted, and...
I don't know what y'all are talking about. Al Gore.
And chapter approved.
No. Games Workshop invented it for him. That's what they trademarked it.
Oh.
They just call it the News Sphere or whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Warren invented Facebook.
You like Matt Warren?
Yeah. Well, remember, GW invented the Webway.
Yeah. So there you go, GW. Go ahead and sue the internet now. I'm certain there's lots of internet dollars there somewhere.
I thought Fred Phelps invented the internet.
No, Fred Phelps just, like, hates the internet.
Well, he'd be Fred Flintstone.
He'd be pretty much nobody without it.
So, see here, there's that random news. There's a book out that nobody can get. Compendium of the Flyers or Flight of the Valkyrie. What's this called?
Death from the Skies.
Compendium of Flyer rules you can't get because they were never printed in a real codex, or Flyer rules that were in a real codex back when they were hovering, you know, fast skimmers.
Flyers that you better hope you bought the White Dwarf, otherwise you don't have the rules for them.
And, you know, miscellaneous changes.
That does not include...
Dogfighting rules.
No, we'll get to that in a minute, Duncan. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Bear in mind that everything we're saying is speculation because nobody has a copy of this book.
I do.
Because you can't buy it in a store. It came out Friday night at midnight, and GW doesn't overnight shit that fast. So nobody knows what this is.
And GW is just sticking the big middle finger once again to independent retailers.
Yeah.
Even their stores. Their stores. You can order at the store, but you can't go in and buy it.
I don't know what y'all are talking about. That guy is awesome. I love Daxon.
What up, Dax? Hey, Daxon. How you doing, buddy?
Daxon taught me how to play. He taught me everything I know.
Oh, so that's why you suck.
Yeah. I'm glad somebody else went there.
You know what?
Wait, was he teaching you 6th edition or 4th?
Never mind. I have something to tell you all, but not when the thing's on.
Okay, carry on then.
We'll be right back after this short. We can find out what the hell Corin's talking about.
Pause!
Forget or stop caring.
Go on.
Keep going.
Okay.
One of the rumors I heard about the book was that it actually dropped the armor value of Valkyrie.
No.
I heard that. No. I was like, that would be stupid.
No. That sounds like wishlisting from somebody.
Internet hates the Vendetta.
I mean, things that have been generally confirmed are that Valkyries and Vendettas have lost the Scout Special rule, so...
Well, that was a fact thing.
Well, it was in a fact that you sort of read in backwards, and they came out and specifically stated it in a new fact that came out the same day as Death from the Skies. Mm. Also generally confirmed is the fact that all the Deep Strike rules on the various Flyers are getting slightly tweaked. Flyers can't deep strike anymore.
There's no tweaking. Yeah. They just removed it.
Well,
yeah.
Sorry. There's Flyers can't deep strike, and then they've also been rewording and adjusting the rules for people jumping out the back of Flyers with
grab shoot insertion, Skies of Blood.
Grab shoot insertion, Skies of Blood. You know, you name it.
I think that was
Nights,
that we just
I think
did
got, you know, got a slightly bigger nerf because they apparently they didn't use to scatter before, or there was something special there. I don't know. I never really played that much with Grey Knights, Storm Ravens.
Yeah, I don't see why anybody would. They're 200 points of spent on more Deckard Reds.
Speaking of the fact, though, something me and Duncan were so happy to notice.
Yeah.
GW completely
screwed the pooch
on the fact article for the
rulebook. They have boned themselves so hard, it's ridiculous.
And completely contradicted.
Okay, rulebook is trumped by Codex. Codex is trumped by FAQ.
Right.
FAQ trumps everything. And the fact that in their FAQ...
The land speed, the injury.
What the fact are you talking about?
Land speeder storms, storm raven, and storm talons. Since it's in the reference book in the back of the book for chaos or for space marine general, they ask if anybody that is a space marine can buy it.
Meaning like space wolves, black templars,
yes,
et cetera, et cetera.
Does that mean me?
They say.
I mean, Dark Angels?
No. You may only select units and vehicles that are available in the armless section of your codex.
Oh.
The two exceptions are the Storm Talon and Storm Raven gunships, which are only available to armies chosen from Codex Space Marine to Codex Black Templars.
Can I go ahead and challenge this?
Therefore, by the wording of the fact,
okay. By the wording of the fact,
Blood Angels and Grey Knights no longer have Storm Ravens.
But
realistically, everyone's going to let them have them.
Yes.
But it's
in
so poorly worded.
In the Blood Angels fact and the Grey Knights fact, they have rules updates for the Storm Raven.
Jack, you don't have to challenge us because we know they just goofed up.
Yeah, we know they goofed up. We know this was GW not proofreading their own.
I was just going to use Duncan's own line of the thinking behind.
Go right ahead. I'd love to hear it. Because my line of thinking is GW specifically used the word only, which means that by the wording of their fact, they just screwed two armies and added two other armies.
Jack, your rebuttal?
My rebuttal is...
Suck it, Blue. Well, I've been trumped.
That's actually what I was going to say. Except it was suck it red.
Blue red, rules. Hey, red you leave red out of this.
Red team sucks.
What I was going to say was Codex trumps rulebook, right?
Yep.
Okay. So that gives us the basis that the rules for the Codex supersedes the rules for the rulebook, right?
I would concur.
Wouldn't the exact same thing work for the facts? The Codex fact supersedes the rulebook fact?
But it doesn't say it's a rulebook fact. It just says a fact. Fact trumps
Codex. But it's
codex.
A fact... and for the main rule book, not for the extended codexes, because you go into the codex patches, it talks about using the Storm Chicken.
Here's a fact. Who does this apply to here?
You know, that's actually a very valid question about the fact. Maybe GW will fact that for us as to which fact comes first.
Seth? We need them to fact the fact.
They need to fact the fact.
Get the family store out of here.
What the fact are they talking about?
I don't know what the fact they're talking about.
Basically, I'm saying Dunk
is all just facts.
Yes.
You guys need to watch your family store language.
Yes, yes, we do.
At the end of the day, the big thing Death of Skies has managed to do is it's managed to bring flyers over to some more armies that didn't, you know, that didn't have them before.
Except Space
Wolves. Black Templar, I'm getting there. Black Templar now have, you know, two flyers. Space Marines picked up a second flyer. So, you know, at this particular stage of 6th edition, we're down to, I want to say, three armies that do not have access to either flyers or flying monsters creatures.
Space Wolves. Eldar.
Tau, who word has it, are getting a new codex around May sometime.
It's okay, they can have a mantle.
And Space Wolves.
And Sisters of Battle.
And Sisters of Battle, but...
Suck it, Sisters of Battle.
Yeah, suck it. Not a real You're not a real army until you've got a book. White Dwarf doesn't count.
Well, that's...
They've got a book.
The man has a
Witch Hunter's Codex. Yes.
And have I missed any of them?
No, because Orcs got their
Eldar,
bomber
Tau,
and everything.
Sisters, and Space Wolves.
Nope, yep, pretty much.
You got them. Yeah. So... Yes. Space Wolves. Only power armored codex out there with absolutely no flyers.
Other than sisters. Who don't count.
I said Space Marine. Sisters are not a Space Marine army.
You said power armor, sir.
Did I say power armor?
You said power armor.
Probably shit.
Beg for forgiveness.
There we are.
So long and short of it. Suck it red.
Suck it blue.
Let's see here. Do you want to go ahead and go and talking about the...
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Bring it up.
What is it?
Do it.
I was going to start talking about the sex chains Betty's going to have, but you know.
What's your new name going to be, Betty?
Betty.
Daniel.
Charles.
I do like Charles.
Oh, wait a second. Time out. You're not taking my name.
Can I be in charge?
No.
Thank you, Seth.
So... Oh, God.
We are all going to hell today.
Okay,
I'm
so,
going to hell for much better things than that.
Well, yeah, I mean... There's a brewery tour down there.
I would like for all of our audiences to raise your hand, unless you're driving, who's going to Adepticon. Okay.
Oh, look at all of them.
Yeah, look at all of them. Now raise your hand if
you're
planning
on
taking
a
demon army.
Okay. Oh, wow, look, all of them.
Now, take that hand, hit yourself up in the head, and go, dope. Because apparently we're dope.
Okay.
Dope!
Okay.
Because we're probably going to be getting a demon codex before the March 15th. Deadline.
Probably. Good chance.
They're talking about codes not being, all right, new codes being put in the system, some GW stores not being able to order stuff. We're just waiting for that.
Speaking of GW stores not being able to order stuff,
okay. I have a question.
They can't get a new copy of the Demon's Codex.
I have one question before we continue. Is the Adepticon, you can't use anything after the 15th or on or after?
Yep.
After the 15th.
Okay. It's going to drop on the 15th.
You think it'll be right on the 15th?
Yes.
Well, the 15th is a Friday. They typically drop on Saturdays.
Yeah, but they're usually out before that late in the month.
I thought they usually dropped on Friday, though.
So March 1st is a Friday.
8th is the Friday. 15th
is
Friday.
So they should be out the 8th, because it should be pre-order the 1st.
It's going to be... Second. If it does, it's going to be within a week of the...
If it's the March Codex, it will be legal for Adepticon. Hmm.
Yep.
So we'll know by March 1st.
And $5 saying they're also going to do a thing they did last month where they release a white dwarf about the next codex the same month as they release the codex.
Yep. Hell yeah. That's the way to
look
do
at
it.
These
and
previews.
Then it'll include a 4,000-point army beating up a 1,500-point chaos army.
Hell yeah. I mean, that's also the way
they don't follow the Force Org at all.
Yeah.
SGW.
It's all
they're
about
not,
building
not
the narrative.
To, damn you!
Suck it, Blue! I mean, Red.
Damn
so
it!
I'm confused!
damn it, Donut.
So, it looks like it's going to be a dual release for both 40K and Fantasy. Like it did last time. And if it is really the case, that's going to be 4 codexes / army books in 3 months.
Yeah.
Which
really bodes well for the rest of the year. If they can keep up an actual tight... publication schedule.
From the understanding that I was on, this talking to people at Adepticon and whatnot, they actually sit on a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They just wait, oh, we need to wait to put us out. So they could be literally sitting on almost every single book right now and just waiting to put out, and the last few that they don't have done could be in the works right now. Because it's a 6-month turnaround from the time they get green light a book to the time it hits the shelf, theoretically. Or hits the printer, at least.
Now, maybe they should take some of that extra time to send them through a proofreader.
We all agree on that one.
I didn't have any problem with the Warrior's Chaos book.
I didn't have any problem with the Warrior's Chaos book, but I can't spell.
I don't think I found a single misspelling in there yet.
Well, who did the Warrior's Chaos book?
Have you looked for one?
Well, apparently he knows how to...
Who is it?
Chris? I'm going to give it to you. Eat that fried cockroach.
Yeah, I don't think I have found a single spelling error in there yet.
See here, what else?
Or any formatting things like the accidental tab they did in the Dark Angels one.
Yeah, that's still...
Or the boring. Units commosed. Did you read that one? Units entirely commosed of whatever.
So,
wait. Plasma Town doesn't have a firing type.
Did you notice in this book, under the written by and cover art credits, it says additional playtesting, and it lists people who actually did playtesting.
Wait, hold on.
Have they put this in books before?
No. That can't be real. Because, as we all know, after reading many Matt Ward codexes, nobody at GW playtests anything.
That's okay. This isn't a Matt Ward book.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, well, carry on. We just talked about this.
Do you not listen?
No, we did.
What? Jack, I like how every time you go to make a point, you take your glasses off and look at the person.
Now, the question, is there a rumor out there about who's working on the two Chaos Demon codexes?
No. That's actually bone dry.
Okay. I thought I had heard something a ways back about it being one of the regular fantasy writers who was tackling both of them, and that's why no one has heard from him for the last
year. So far, all we really got is the time and the date. We haven't really got really any details on it.
All I'm really hoping for is Phil Kelly.
Nah. Phil Kelly just finished Chaos Space Marines.
That's my point.
He's supposed to be working on NIDS right now.
Yeah.
He said that actually at a panel.
I'd be fine if Gav Thorpe did it again.
I don't think Gav Thorpe works for GW anymore.
I think you may be right.
I'm pretty sure Gav Thorpe quit.
He works for Lockheed Martin now.
And, yeah, works for Lockheed Martin now.
Are you serious?
Other than doing,
Damn,
the occasional
awesome.
Novel as a freelancer for Black Library.
He wrote all the, Gav Thorpe wrote all the,
yeah.
The Eldar.
Eldar books.
And the,
He wrote a few
and
short
the,
stories.
The High Elf novels for fantasy.
He really likes his elves.
Which is why, for some reason, Teclis kept using a Shuriken secret pistol. We're not really quite certain about that.
Jack, I have a question. Is it going to be Fantasy 40K or just 40K?
What?
Is it going to be a dual 40K
that's what
Fantasy
I've, that's
Demon
what
release?
I've heard, but there's not as much stuff that people can prove about the Fantasy yet, but it makes sense for
them. I'll be honest, at the end of the day, from GW's perspective, where they're trying to drop a bunch of new models for a range, you know, anytime you ask anyone from GW, any of the designers, any of the salespeople, they'll tell you, they're a modeling company, not a game company.
Yep.
So if I had a range of models that worked for two different games, and I was putting out a bunch of updates and new models for it, I would surely be going and taking, and releasing two sets of rules simultaneously to get as many people as possible buying these new models. So I think that, personally, that's the only thing that makes sense.
Hey, I think from GW's perspective it would.
One thing on the... about Adepticon, I know a lot of people have been talking about the Forge World. We haven't seen anything put up about it. I just got a reply from them like 2 seconds ago that they're still working out details about Forge World, and they will have pre-releases and or pre-orders and stuff up by the end of the week.
Oh, good.
So if you want anything from Adepticon, anyone in Forge World, we will have something up by the end of the week.
I thought we were talking about.
What are you doing, Seth?
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead back. Yeah, just.
He's in my hand. I want to talk.
Is that the feather?
Yes.
That's the conch.
I just wanted to add that all of the 6th edition 40K books have playtesters written.
Playtethered.
And
you mean
two?
Both of them? All one of them?
The Chaos and Dark Angels. And then this is the...
Warriors Chaos one?
Newest one since...
Dark Angels.
6th edition, right? This is the newest fantasy.
Yeah,
6th edition?
Yeah, that's the only fantasy since 6th edition.
So I wonder if they're going to...
Actually, playtest all their stuff for balance.
You think they may just put that in there to take heat off their asses about people saying this is unbalanced?
Look at Chaos Space Marines and Dark Angels; they're balanced
compared to one another. They are.
Look how good those books are. Maybe they're actually trying.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, I'll throw out, you know, there's still the odd tweak I would make for things that stand out a bit above the curve in most of these books. But, yeah, fairly balanced. And by above the curve, I also mean below the curve in a couple of places.
Isn't that the definition of balance, though?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're talking about, you know, the Helldrake, which is, thinking just of flyers off the top of my head, since we're talking about Death in the Skies. The Helldrake, who's between the Vector Strike and the Baleflamer, tends to be run a little hot on the table in terms of just being very super effective and having a great tight set of rules around it. Maybe if that Baleflamer was strength 5, so it didn't wound everything, and by everything I really mean Space Marines on on twos, I'd think a little more of it. But, there's that one which, just feels a little good for what it does.
Yeah, but
and
it's
you
not.
Can in the Dark Angels, flyers, which I love.
Are miraculous
I like the models,
for what they do.
Are miraculously 20 to 30 points more expensive than I would pay for what they do. And even if I was paying a fair price for what they do, I still probably wouldn't take them because they don't do anything particularly useful.
Yeah, but from what we've seen out of those two books, there are no game-breaking units in there. They are winning some tournaments, but they're losing a lot of games too. So
it's true. I mean, things that are winning tournaments are the things that are getting tossed in a White Dwarf and not getting playtested.
Yeah.
No, looking at you, Chaos Demons. And you, Sisters of Battle.
Oh,
yeah. Sweeping the nation with their White Dwarf decks.
Didn't they win one recently?
I think
I'm pretty sure they did.
They did win one recently.
Yeah, they win Atomicon.
Astronomicon. They won it with Exorcists.
You could probably win
Exorcists
it with Sisters
everywhere.
Battle. Because you could make up the rules and nobody would know you were lying.
It's true.
That's actually a valid point.
How'd that game go again today against those demons that didn't have any flamers or screamers?
Hey. I drew them on primaries.
Because we could do a show of hands who has the Sisters of Battle.
Of course, I think
codex.
If we both known what the primary objective was for lack of reading the rules, who knows what
that's
it would
have done. Wait, what's going on? I see hand raising.
Who actually has the Sisters of Battle codex?
We're saying that they could win because you could completely lie about the rules and most people wouldn't know that you were even telling a lie.
Wait, I have to put my hand down.
Exorcist shoots
six
missiles.
Do you have
every
a PDF copy of them? Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Trouble is, you only pull that once on somebody who's actually read the codex, and then you get banned from the tournament.
James talking about pulling out?
What?
Huh?
Yeah. I heard what? Pulling out.
Oh,
oh, James doesn't pull out. That's not part of his game plan.
Oh, okay.
Are we talking about cheese again?
Yes.
Okay, so. moving on. Moving on. What other news has there been in the webways in the Black Library?
I think you said something about Tao.
Tau. There
think
were
any
a pile
new
of
Tau updates on Tau since the last time we
talked. Well, no, there's been a ton of stuff coming out in the last 2 weeks about Tau, because I remember looking at it, just a lot has been re-releases of old rumors, a bunch of new recent compilations. There's a lot of stuff out there about a, a giant Krutox or a Krut giant of some sort. One of the rumors was that it was some sort of, almost fantasy style giant that was a Krut that's been just hopped, had its evolution
like
hopped up
squid.
By the Tau.
That has it eaten everything?
Yeah.
Including, like, a Tyranid?
Can
of course,
it fly?
No, it cannot fly. I mean, the rumors are that it's costing 200 points. It's only got, like, 4 wounds, but it's toughness 8 with a 4-up save.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot out there. There's a lot of people saying, yeah, it's really expensive for what it does, and you'll never get it into combat to get it to do anything useful. Mm. One of the rumors was that it had a special trample attack, so you could move through things in the movement or run through them in the assault phase. And when you ran through them, you would do a number of D whatever. Models are required to get out of the way. You do a number of D whatever.
It was basically
hits
screamer
to the
flyover attack.
It's basically a screamer flyover attack where models have to be moved out of your way. And also you can charge, you can declare that and also use that move to charge. That was one of the rumors.
I am fine with that because odds are good, like the rest of the Tau Codex, it'll only be weapon skill 2.
It's true.
They got some ballistic weapon skills.
Well, no. It's
crude
weapon
skill
3. Weapon skill 4.
Oh, that's right.
Weapon skill 4.
Weapon skill 4.
The thing that I've
crude
have
like
found.
Orcs.
They just don't get saves.
And that, one of the other rumors is that the crude are supposed to pick up a 6-up save that if you take a shaper, you can take up to you can spend extra points to buy them up to a 5-up.
Oh, crap.
Well,
guardsmen.
Because people are, spending so many points on that right now to take them up. Let's see, some other rumors. I mean, besides that trampling giant thing is, there's a persistent rumor for the Dreadknight-sized, monstrous creature suit.
I personally like the marker-like one.
Oh, and then there's the marker light rumor, which the rumor at this point is that a marker light, you know, a marker light, if you hit a unit with a marker light, that unit, every unit shooting at the unit that got hit with the marker light gets +1 to its ballistic skill. But that's all that, you know, multiple marker lights don't do anything. It's just, are you hit with a marker light? Everyone else's ballistic skill, 4 or 5, you know, whatever the magic number is.
Or you can turn it in for either A, skyfire, or B, you're hitting on a different modifier.
Yeah, like I've heard that too, but that's a much older rumor. This, you know, the one I'm talking about is just, you know, from the latest round of stuff. Honestly, I have a little hard time swallowing that just because, you know, there are so many Tau units that come with marker lights on top of marker lights. You know, if one marker light hit gives you a +1 bonus, what's the point to having a unit of, say, Pathfinders who have 8 marker lights?
See, you're only supposed to have, like, 2 marker lights in a unit now.
I thought those were, like, be...
Well, then the Pathfinders are going to need some massive redoing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they can rip them out of the codex. I don't freaking care.
But that was supposed to be, like, their Tau-only anti-air for their ground units, except for their air units.
Yeah.
Well, when your regular rifle is strength 5, I don't think you need much
with
more
a,
than that.
With a 30-inch range.
Yeah.
Yeah. And oh, you're right. I think, you know, there was a rumor that, you know, a marker light hit would hit, you know, hitting a flyer would let any unit shooting at the flyer fire normal ballistic skill. Mm. That being said, you still need to hit the flyer with the marker light, which I can see is my reason to take 8 Pathfinders.
Yeah, when you have ballistic skill of like, 3 or 4, 2, whatever.
Who cares? You're hitting on 6s with those marker lights. So, 8 guys, boop, oh, I got a 6.
That's what I'm
rail
saying.
Gun.
If you've only got 1 or 2 of those marker lights and you're rolling
but that
6s.
Being, you know, the trouble is that gives you a massive point source. Well, then again, any other army would have a massive point source failure in that if I kill your one unit that can shoot at flyers, you're hurt. So, if I kill your one unit with marker lights, the rest of your army can't shoot at flyers. Eh, whatever.
What I find, another thing I like that I've heard in a rumor are the recuts of the suits, where the suits are supposed to look more like the Forge World.
Yes, and that, you know, I'm playing, you know, I've got my Tau army, you know, I've got about, call it 3,000 points of Tau chilling around right now, fully painted and assembled, that I'm probably going to try and put on eBay in the next while, just to give myself a head of money to, you know, when you got a dozen of the old battle suits, I don't want to buy a dozen new battle suits and then paint them to match my army. I'd really rather just start the whole thing over again.
Oh, all I want to do is see the regular Tau Codex include the Manta. That's all.
Hey, well, that actually brings me to one of the rumors about, you know, the random Tau rumors that did come out in the last week or so. One of the rumors about the Tau Flyer is that their Flyer is an AV-1312-something Flyer that is primarily a troop transport. It has next to no guns, but can apparently carry a full unit of suits or fire warriors or something.
So it's a mini Manta?
A mini Manta, basically.
Is it going to get another? Is it going to get fish name too?
Isn't the Orca the Forge World one that can carry units?
Yeah. Now, the thing I find interesting about it is if it's a dedicated flyer with an AV-13, that would be the first time GW's put AV-13 on a flyer. And arguably, you know, given the various strengths of anti-flyer weapons, I mean, you're talking quad gun being the most common, you know, common you're seeing, flak missile at strength 8, an AV-13 front flyer flying on from your board edge is going to be nigh invincible to most of the anti-air weapons out there. I mean, you'll have the odd pot shot from an Icarus las cannon, and of course, you know, what you call it, guard las cannons, vendetta las cannons. But AV-13 is going to shrug a lot of what's, you know, sits there at that height. And then, you know, a Stormraven comes on and multi-multis its ass into the ground, but you can't have everything. AV-13 will shrug most of what everyone else is bringing.
This means we're going to have somewhat people bitching about a different flyer besides the Vendetta.
Yay. I doubt it.
No, they won't.
Because I'll throw out, you know, if it's that many points just to carry a unit of suits around or a unit of fire warriors around, why?
Because
the suits move.
You can get them closer.
Because getting close is what you need to do with Tau.
Oh, as always.
I mean, the suits could, admittedly, under the current system, the suits can deep strike on their own as it is. So there's no real worries that, you know, there's no real worries there.
Maybe the point is there's going to be an HQ that makes suits troops, and you're wanting to get them to objectives.
Quick relocation.
That's true. At that point, I really just have to wonder, what is this flyer going to cost, and is it going to be worth it?
7
you know, because if I can deep strike a unit of suits in, or if I can drop the flyer and put a whole extra unit of suits in my army somewhere, I'm probably not going to want the flyer. So I feel like that, you know, with the points with the points cost they're built into every 6th ed flyer, which admittedly is 2 codexes worth, but they've all been averaging at around 160 or 170 points. You know, I feel like it needs to do more than just get models from point A to point B to earn its points cost.
I would concur.
I mean, you know, you back up and look at the Necron things, which carry 15 guys in, you know, in an AV-11 hull, but they also have a, you know, cost of only 100 points and, you know, have a gun to, you know, get, let them have some impact on the game besides this unit got from point A to point B efficiently.
Well, anyone else got any more rumors?
I know that me and Jack could talk for a while about the New Warriors Chaos book, but
that's not rumors.
That's not rumors, but it's news.
It's new releases.
Yeah.
True, but it's fantasy. Go for it.
We don't square base?
We don't square
base. Square base.
I square base. I square base.
So. We don't square base enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All I can say is that the Warriors Chaos book isn't as horrible as I first thought it was going to be.
No.
I'm happy ish with it.
I'm quite happy taking Nurgle magic instead of Tzeentch magic now.
Yes.
Still kind of iffy about Slaanesh, but.
Everybody's I will kinda, care.
Everybody's kind of iffy about Slaanesh.
I will care when I have a new Dwarf Codex. I mean, Squat Codex. I mean, yeah.
Something.
Yeah. All right, so I think that's it. So we'll see you on the next segment.
After station identification?
Exactly.
Was there a vowel in there?
No.
Segment?
Segment?
You definitely said segment.
He did.
I definitely glued my fingers together, so it's no big deal.
Could have happened to a better guy.
Click!
Oh!
Okay.
That was good.
This next segment is apparently going to be yelling about the facts and rules.
Is he recording?
Yeah, we're recording now. We're back to recording again. Oh,
okay.
Focus.
Back to recording.
Focus. Sing the facts of life.
It's the facts of life. The facts of life. You learn a lot, you live a lot. I don't even know.
I have no problem shooting you in the knee.
Discussing you.
I have no problem being shot in the knee.
Yeah.
I could
you take the good, you take the bad,
right
and then
now.
You look and then you have facts of life.
Okay, so anyway.
Come on, Jack.
You your favorite, Jack? Like Tootie, right? Yeah?
You know what random
no.
rule?
He's not allowed to have the stick. I do not want to get hit.
He's leaning back. Just kick his legs out.
Seth, just tell him he's, just tell him he's confused. Seth, just tell him he's confused.
You're just confused.
What were we talking about?
Yes.
Okay, so.
I'm so lost. What's going on?
We're going to be talking.
You tell the stick what to use.
About
when,
the facts.
When, okay.
Facts.
Focus. When we're off mic, somebody started talking about new facts in the rending. So we're going to have that conversation so you can hear it now.
I really thought he was talking about me.
Don't worry. I can pull up these facts, and I'll make sure not to pull up the Polish ones that are on the GW site for some reason.
Hey,
so
now, before we go any further,
yeah,
the fact
Polish
that they finally put up Polish
the
facts in
that?
There makes me think that they're actually finally branching into Poland in a way to try to kill off the small companies. Because in their fact, it specifically says Cybor and Max Mini are not allowed in their games. So, there you go.
Does it really?
It does
no,
not.
Not really. It says, please stop making miniatures that are better than ours.
Okay, so. Seth, you started this whole entire thing.
What?
Or was it Betty?
No, I
started. You two are like the same people.
That is true.
I'm not a doctor.
My thing is.
Damn it, Jim.
You're like a doctor. You're pretty much Dr. Tran.
I don't think it's clear that the gun behind
Cowboy
the defense
Hut.
Line is a friendly or
Who
an enemy model.
Is a very gray, you know, I can see that being a very gray area.
It's
you
been
buy
a gray
it with your
since
army.
It came out.
But it's, you know, identical to ones that can be starting on the board. Your opponent can fire it because there's nothing preventing him from firing it. Honestly, it could have used a lot more clarification.
If someone can hand me a rule book, I can prove
it. The thing that hit hit online, and as far as I'm concerned, this wasn't an issue until someone put it online on a major new, you know, forum and made it a worldwide issue.
Cough Bell Lost Souls.
Yeah, Cough Bell Lost Souls. Just the idea of putting a quad gun at the middle point of your, you know, field, so as far up in no man's land as you can, and then charging it on the first turn to get some extra movement.
Out of Karn
or somebody else. It's a, you know. Honestly, it's a garbage thing.
I thought we were talking
in the first
about
place, you start off, you know, the thing is 2 feet on. You start off a foot on, you move up 6 inches, so you're 6 inches away from that. You can run to get to the same position. You know, you might be an inch or so behind, but you're not killing a 50-point model from your own army to do it. And honestly, you weren't that far behind anyway, so.
Yes, but you don't also have, doing that, you also have the option to possibly charge it with Typhus. Having the Epidemius list, the cultists go off, you then kick off Typhus's plague of whatever the hell.
His
tally, and you up the tally
yeah,
like crazy.
Epidemius.
I can see that.
And Typhus.
Now, my personal rules are very gray in that area. My personal ruling would be, no, you're not charging a model you bought with your own, you know, you bought with your own points. That's just ridiculous, you know. On the face of it, it's a little ridiculous. Unfortunately, I can't find an exact rule wording to support that, because the fortifications weren't weren't well worded.
They aren't very clear.
Or they probably figured no asshat would ever charge his own stuff.
No, they know better than that. I don't
do they really?
They've done all these facts. Why didn't they say something about it? They know people are doing it.
Because they don't have to. And if I could actually find a rule book, I'd show it to you.
We'll go find a rule book.
That's what I'm looking for.
Can't find a rule book in a game
store.
I'm
glad you know where it is in the rule book, because apparently all the other thousands of players who want to argue over this don't know where it is.
I'm going to go ahead and read a direct quote out of the rule book. Anyone who wants to argue about it can argue against the rule book, because the rule book's very emphatic about it. Plain English, page 20. Declare charge. Choose a unit in your army that is declaring a charge and nominate the enemy units that is attempting to charge. First line, first sentence, the end.
All right, now define enemy unit.
I think that fairly simply an enemy unit would be your opponent's army.
You would think, but where does it exactly say in the rule book unit is?
Let me go back here to the index real quick and see if I can find enemy. Oh, yep, here it is. Enemy. Page. Shut up!
I suppose, the counter argument I make to that is, how many times have you shot at your opponent's quad gun?
Frequently.
It's an enemy unit.
Yes, quad gun is not an enemy unit.
It's not your quad gun. It's no one's quad gun. You just happen to be standing there shooting it.
If I bought it, it's my quad gun.
Your opponent can stand up there and shoot your quad gun.
That's perfectly fine.
It's still my quad gun. It's their quad gun. Possession is 9/10 of the law, sir.
At that point, it's still my quad gun.
Turn the quad gun and shooting people.
Because I'm the one who paid for it. Which would mean that no matter what, can't charge it.
How nice of you to buy that quad gun for your opponent to use.
Quite correct, sir.
You mean like I used it today against Aaron?
Yeah.
Because it specifically states enemy. Enemy would be, if someone wants to pull up a dictionary, would say your opponent.
The question I have is, what is the classification of a defense line when it's not manned? Like a gun when it's not manned?
Battlefield terrain.
Yeah.
Battlefield terrain?
Yep.
Can you charge battlefield terrain?
Nope.
No, which is not an enemy.
Sure you can. Charge that hill, boys.
No, you're charging the people who are on top
of it. Shut your face. Never take that hill.
Right, so apparently we're channeling General Custer over here.
I'm sorry, it's battlefield debris. My bad.
Yep, and you cannot charge battlefield debris because it says enemy.
We're going to take that trash heap, boys.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I just think that...
I'm wrong.
They should just flat out say it, because I don't think you should be able to do it.
Okay. The problem we have with that is GW is not going to come out and flat out say it, because why would they? They think their rules are perfectly understandable.
Yeah, we know that.
Yeah, I mean, the argument I would like to make is the Aegis defense line has no wounds, it's nothing, fine, it's a piece of battlefield debris.
My feeling is
if you pay points for it, if it has wounds, if it has an armor save, if it has shooting,
it's a friendly model.
It is a friendly model, it should be a kill point.
I think I know where they're coming from, though.
Where?
The gun emplacement description for battlefield debris.
Safe sword? The gun
emplacement can be shot at and attacked in close combat.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. It's not an enemy model unless your enemy bought it. If you bought it, it's a friendly model.
I'm saying that's where they're coming from, more than likely.
I'm very curious to see what Adepticon says.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that Adepticon will not use the INAT, because the INAT, as of today, said, screw you guys, and screw the INAT.
We're going home.
It wasn't as of today. They've been saying that for months now.
He put out a thing today that said the INET will no longer be done by him. Yeah, the guy who does DACA DACA.
They've been saying that for a while. Yeah, well, just said he was done.
But there's like a panel of like 9 people that does the INET.
And apparently there was one guy herding that panel of cats.
Yeah,
and
so
now
apparently
he quits.
Now we're using the Indie Open fact for...
Oh, God.
Which is very, very short.
Yeah. Yep. It says, and I quote, yes, rhinos can shoot a quad gun.
Yep. All right, so let's talk about that.
Hell yeah!
That's interesting.
What?
Well,
yeah.
it is any model with a ballistic skill that is in base-to-base contact with a quad gun may fire the quad gun.
So a hovering flyer?
Or any other battlefield emplacement gun.
Right.
Wait, so a zooming flyer?
Yeah. No, because you're not in base-to-base contact.
That's a hard argument as to what constitutes base-to-base contact from a flyer on a flying stand. Because, you shoot to the hull, but you assault to the base of the vehicle, the circular base.
A swooping monster, then.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Swooping.
But it's okay, because Tyranids still can't fire them.
Jack?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Jack.
So, when you have a gun emplacement, you use the ballista skill and the special rules of the fire, right?
Correct.
So what vehicles break the normal rules for firing guns?
Land Raiders.
It's true.
Anything with power of the machine spirit.
Yeah.
So you could theoretically park a Land Raider next to that and use power of the machine spirit to power the machine spirit, the quad gun, into something weird.
Or skimmers.
Why skimmers?
Because skimmers can shoot more weapons when they move. So you can fly up to it and shoot that plus...
Yeah, but I mean... You're talking about moving up to a fixed emplacement, so that's a...
I'm just saying it. I mean, it, mobility.
Yeah, it's true. But trouble is, you know, there aren't that many... Now, actually, one completely random thing I can think of. Pask in a...
Yep.
Or Kronos.
Yeah.
You know, higher ballistic skill... You know, Pask in particular with his ability to take the strength of the gun up by a point if he doesn't move.
I have something stupid.
Well, we know that.
Drop pod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drop it right on top of it.
And the drop pod now mans the quad gun.
Yep.
Assuming you don't scatter.
Yeah, you're going to scatter.
And assuming, by the way, on the subject of the Indy FAQ. The Indy FAQ, which says drop pods... We don't want to see drop pods. And in fairness to them, I personally don't think it was a deliberate nerf against drop pods, because the rules as written do read fairly strongly this direction. But they have two specific rulings regarding drop pods. Firstly, a drop pod, as stated in its rules, is immobilized when it deep strikes in.
Quite correct. Takes a hull point.
Per the Indy FAQ, you lose a hull point. Reasonable and based on the rules, fine. The second one is that a drop pod which scatters into dangerous terrain must take a dangerous terrain check. On a 1, and by dangerous terrain I also mean difficult terrain, on a 1, the drop pod
takes a hull point.
Is immobilized.
Yep, and therefore when it lands, it destroys a weapon.
No. When you take an immobilized result, when you are already immobilized...
It counts as 2.
It counts as 2 hull points.
You've just wrecked yourself.
Therefore, any drop pod that hits difficult terrain, 1-in-6 chance to wreck itself. At which point the Indy FAQ states that the guys coming out of the drop pod disembark from a wrecked vehicle.
And pin themselves.
And must make a pinning check and can only move 3 inches from the hull.
I'm fine with this. I hate drop pod armors anyway.
Exactly. I think that's their point.
Well, it's their point. And the thing is, you know, it's an interpretation of the rules, but I mean, the wording supports it well enough that I think that's, that I think it's a reasonable argument.
Speaking of the Indy Open, we're in...
I think only amateurs use drop pods.
Uh-huh. No, I mean, the thing is, a drop pod is a perfectly... I mean, I think the five or six drop pod army is a little irritating and annoying to play against. Just like, you know, Chaos Demons are irritating and annoying to play against. But, you know, drop pods, perfectly valid way to say, I'm putting this unit, and it is going to arrive at this general area of the board.
Well, until I can no longer now do it. But I had a lot of fun with my drop pod army in 6th edition.
Yeah.
It was just... fun.
Well, I mean, and you can still do it. You just have to be more. I mean, you just have to be more careful not to drop into area terrain. And even dropping into area terrain, oh god, the drop pod died because it was doing so much after it got there.
Well, it was. It was laying on top of my quad gun, so it could man it for me.
To be fair, it's only 35 points. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
it's getting your guys where you want them to go. And
yeah.
That's,
well, the thing is, and
it only
lately,
sucks in kill point missions.
Yeah, it'll burn you hard in kill point missions, which. Is the sad thing about drop pods, but it's, you know, you're up, you know, take, I'm going to use Space Wolves as an example. I was doing some looking a while back with my Space Wolves army, trying to figure out, okay, I've got Space Wolves, I'm playing pure Space Wolves, how am I getting guys to capture objectives on the other side of the board? And throughout 5th edition, the answer was Rhinos. I've got 6 squads in either Rhinos or Razorbacks that are driving, hugging terrain, taking their 4-up cover saves, and I can generally manage to make, you know, get a few of them across the board to take objectives on the other side. 6th ed, with the overall reduction in cover saves and hull points, I'm finding it harder and harder to get rhinos across the board. So I start looking at how else are you going to get units from this particular army across the board. And you really run into only a couple of options. There's foot slogging.
Woohoo!
Not too terribly, you know, slow, not terribly reliable.
Unless you're Templars.
Yeah. Land Raiders. Hideously expensive. Let's see. Drop pods, which, you know, we're discussing right there. And then there's the odd thing you can do where you can get, you know, put a stealth on a character, you know, stealth pants on a priest and outflank a unit.
Stealth pants.
And, yeah. as Space Wolf Codex goes, those are your options. Rhinos, drop pods, land raiders, outflanking, and walking. So I've been moving more towards lately trying to use 3 to 4 drop pods in my Space Wolf army just to reliably get a few troops to the backfield.
But not anymore.
I'll probably still do it. I mean, the trouble is, you know, the way I'm making that work is I take two drop pods and fill them with, you know, combi melta suicide wolf guard squad, you know, wolf guard squads, which against mech opponents are great for, you know, if I get first turn with that, I'm pretty well guaranteeing myself first blood. But if it's a kill points mission, I've also tossed away two or four kill points to do that. Because the whole point is it takes those two suicide squads in reserve to get two troop squads to come in on not the first turn. Because, I'll be honest, you put 20 guys on the backboard edge on turn one, you won't have them there by turn four or five if your opponent knows what he's doing. There's too much close-in fire there. But, like I said, as an addition to a core list, I think drop pods are perfectly fine. As a pure theme for an army, they're incredibly annoying to play against.
Well,
what?
With the way GW's FAC has, or not GW's FAC, but the Indy FAC, I actually see immobilizing yourself automatically taking a hull point off of them. It makes sense. It really does. This, I mean, the rules state they immobilize themselves when they land. The taking a second roll for landing in terrain.
Well,
I think that one's kind of bogus.
I mean, I
can see their point.
Yeah,
but.
Theoretically, you are auto failing your difficult terrain test when you hit the planet.
Yeah, yeah. The planet itself was difficult terrain. Space was easier.
Are we playing that vacuum space mission again where I think difficult terrain?
Oh, God, no.
Oh.
I have rending lash guns. What the hell?
Welcome to my world, Mr. Space Marine.
The entire board is now dangerous terrain for your vehicles.
No.
No.
I don't like that mission.
You have to roll everything on, because this is Dawn of War in 5th.
I hated that mission. I lost tanks rolling onto the board.
Half of them.
Yeah, I know. Considering how many tanks I had, that was horrible.
3 Limitrosses out of 6?
Yeah, hey. That hurt a lot.
4 out of 5 vehicles in 2 turns, immobilized in that stupid ice blood river.
No one forced you to move.
No one forced me to move.
Right, so...
The Soul Grinder intimated that it would be a good idea if those Melta guns drive in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody forced me to move there.
I don't know, you did a pretty good job immobilizing yourself last week.
So
I'm
what
very
other...
good at... There's a reason I put dozer blades on things.
So what other...
Just not guard things, because they cost
rules, questions, slash clarifications have came up because of the facts, without the facts, beside the facts?
Can we talk about the rending thing?
Nothing but the facts.
Rending. No, but that should be technically old news.
Yeah, the rending thing is sort of old news. I mean, it's been in the fact for a while, and it's as far as I'm concerned, it's been very clear-cut for... Completely clear-cut ever since, you know, Codex printing. The argument being that people shooting at vehicles and rending a vehicle were arguing their weapons got turned into AP2 because they were rending weapons, and rending weapons become AP2 if you roll a 6. The trouble is, there's two, you know... That rule, if you look at the book, I don't have it right in front of me, there are two separate paragraphs. One says, on rolls to wound of a 6, the weapon becomes AP2, rolling to wound. On armor, the second paragraph is, on rolls to penetrate of a 6, rolling to penetrate a vehicle, you get an additional D3 armor penetration. They're two completely separate paragraphs. You don't roll to wound a vehicle, you roll to penetrate a vehicle. You know, it's very clear, it's very straightforward.
Seth's poison list is a whole lot nastier.
They are two separate sentences and two separate paragraphs, but people were arguing, no, my weapon becomes AP2, and that +1 means I exploded you, or blah, blah.
Yeah, no, I just checked. The only thing updating these round of facts was flying things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
But
well,
that's
that makes sense, because the facts were updated the day Death from the Skies came out.
Yeah.
So people had the facts before they had the book.
Pretty much. Since no one still has the book and we have the facts.
GW has the facts. And the book.
Just the facts.
Yeah, but as we all know, GW's facts are frequently wrong.
But the good news is, the book is going to, you know, the book is going to come out, you know, people should start receiving their copies tomorrow, or, you know, people should start receiving their copies Monday or Tuesday, at which point the internet will start freaking out about whether, if any, their useful content is in that book.
I will wait for the
Bell
PDF.
Lost Souls will say, oh, look, points cost got adjusted on this. So, you know, some blog will freak out about it one way or the other. Or someone will just say, yeah, this is completely useless. People, don't waste your $33. There's a reason they didn't advertise this book before it came out. It's because it's crap.
I'm going with that one.
It's a $33 excuse to reprint rules that were in a magazine that cost $10 or
$15. Yeah, pretty much.
What is the White Dwarf price?
$10 or $15.
$10, yeah.
Well, I think that pretty much covers the fact, I guess. Anyone else got anything else to say?
Testicles.
Yeah, I'm
Jack,
good.
Sound off, buddy.
I got nothing.
Seth?
We'll be back after station identification.
We're a station?
Okay.
We have identification.
Yes.
There we go.
And we'll be back.
Codex Sexual Hamster.
Sexual Hamster.
On that note, we're going to Power Creep. We're going to start talking about NIDS.
Tyranids.
Everybody's favorite little bugs.
Like I said, the Aliens Colonial Marine game is awesome.
So to the NID players, what do you guys think are the biggest changes for NIDS now that 6th Ed's out?
Fearless. Biomancy.
Biomancy.
Biomancy. Fearless.
Fearless. Fearless and Biomancy.
Shadow of War. We don't care how many people that you kill. We will just stay there all day.
No more flying fearless monstrous wounds creatures. Makes me sad.
Flying monstrous creatures.
No, what makes you sad?
No more fearless wounds on gaunt swarms.
No jam?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's one of the most reliable ways you had to kill a gaunt swarm.
And an orc boy mom.
Charge in. Well, more to the point, you know, just thinking about fearless wounds, you know, in the old edition versus the new edition, it was also your most reliable way of killing monstrous creatures, because the best thing to do was to pile into a combat, charge as many gaunts as you charge a big swarm of gaunts, and then put one model into a monstrous creature, win combat by 4 or 5, and then make the monstrous creature take 5, you know, fearless wounds on top of the gaunts taking 5 fearless wounds.
Yep. Orcs can't keep crapping out more boys.
Yeah.
You know what?
Not yet.
You're absolutely correct so far.
Are they going to be carrying along a little piss slime they can be keep pulling
now,
out
boys from? We'll throw out, you know, the orcs can't crap out more boys, but on the other hand, the orcs get a little more done than the average gaunt does, so.
I don't know, I like my gaunt.
Yeah, I don't know, gaunts don't need to kill stuff.
No, they don't.
They just need to tie stuff up.
I say, gaunts, you have them running around the turbine, you get poison, furious charge, keep pooping out more of them.
But the gaunt cannot fire an Icarus Lance Cannon.
Who cares?
Why not?
Neither can the orc.
Because the rulebook states that Tyranids cannot use in place weapons.
Okay.
They don't have fingers or feeding mechanisms to understand how to fire a modern chemical.
They have
weapon.
Fingers if they're spawned to have fingers.
Lickers have tentacles.
Oh, wait. All you got to do is ally people.
Come the apocalypse, Mike. Only come the apocalypse.
Okay.
We pretty much hate everybody, but...
We hate everybody.
Okay, so, NIDS. Yeah. Okay, changes to NIDS. This list off top of my head. Feel no pain. Not feel no pain. Fearless. Cover saves. The new psychic powers. The change to Rage Wool.
The
Fearless Wounds.
Fearless Runes. Yeah, NIDS actually get a lot out of 6. We already talked about the fearless rune, rage, having a monster creature now with rage, that with instinctive behavior feed, isn't that bad now because they're getting +2 attacks when they go charge into stuff because of rage. They have roughly about the 3rd best psychic defense now in the game because of Shadow of the Warp, right behind runes of warding and space wolves.
Granted, that only works for close matchups.
Yeah. Well, Runes of Warding is also an up close. I mean, the only one that's really board wide, top notch psychic defense is
Eldred.
Runes of Warding with Eldrad.
Yeah. Or just a Farseer.
Or just a Farseer. I mean, bottom line, Runes of Warding.
Yeah. Eldar.
So, I mean, and honestly, if Eldar have the best board wide psychic defense in the game,
it makes sense.
I'm cool with that. You know, their fluff makes it make sense. Yeah. And, you know, Tyranids can have very nearly board-wide psychic defense.
Now, if only Eldar could have a level 4 psyker.
Needs more Ahriman.
Yeah, well, he can use 3 powers.
Don't have a level 4 psyker, so...
Eldar don't, but Chaos Space Marines do.
Yeah.
Some of these monster creatures, access to Biomancy, which is probably the best for Tyranids, giving Iron Arm to...
Oh, my God.
A possible Toughness 9 Termagon.
Yeah. A possible Toughness 9, yeah.
Tyrant.
Yeah. Apostle Toughness 9, Strength Toughness 9, Flying Tithe Tyrant, and the Apostle Toughness 9, you know, running Trigon Prime.
With It Will Not Die and Regeneration or Regeneration.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of potential combinations there. The good news being, they're also randomized, so you're probably getting on 1 or 2 monstrous creatures if you got enough of them, but they won't be overpoweringly everywhere.
Unless you roll, like, someone at this table here and get Iron Arm on everything in one game.
That's okay. Yeah, I'll just deny the witch on him.
No, you can't deny that because they're a blessing, not a malediction.
No, somehow I would do it. I'm really good at denying the witch.
You know how you deny that witch?
Iron Arm Swarmlord, also known as I Walk Up and Eat Your Face.
You deny that witch by, oh, look, I appear to have dropped something on the table. Flip!
Unless you're playing Dark Elder, in which case I cry and go home.
I think the big bugs being able to put their toes inside the area of terrain now and getting the cover save is huge.
That's a big thing.
That is a very big thing. Particularly since monsters creatures come with move through cover. I mean, pretty well, you know, most of the tiered things that matter have move through cover, so they're not slowed horribly by the difficult terrain.
Especially now that we can, with like buildings, you can, you know, 25% of the buildings covering you. Oh, look, I've got a 4+.
I think this just made the Venom Throp even more useless than before.
No, I loved it before. I didn't run a Nidless without it before.
And now do you include them at all?
And now what about whenever you have your Termagants running in front of your Termagant? What happens, Jack?
You get a 5+ cover save.
Arguably. Depends on how tall those Termagants are and how short that Termagant is.
I have two of them who carry one another on their backs.
If you're using the actual GW Termagant and actual GW Termagant, you get the cover save.
Is that so?
Yep.
He comes up to
20. It's just because of how low the Termagant is crouched down.
Gotcha. Yeah. I know. I feel like you have to have a lot of gaunts out there because even if the gaunt covers 25% of the Termagant just on a pure height thing, you'd have to be blocking up the entire bottom 25%.
That's not hard.
With how many?
And of course, your opponent is elevated even slightly.
Yeah. With how many gaunts these guys use, that's not uncommon.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
What, one or two?
50 points. 5 points apiece.
I'm just pointing out that it's not free. You do actually have to, you know, bunch up and work for it to a certain extent.
Well, yeah.
In 5th edition, I would run one, sometimes I would run one Hive Tyrant just for the random cool power.
I still...
Proxism and maybe Leech Life.
I hate it so much.
Proxism's great, you know, dropping people down to Wilderness Skill 1. And then I'd run, of course, a Trevagon, and then three more Trevagons, three big units of Termagants, lots of Venomthropes, and then...
Doom and Malzahn.
Two or three
Trigons.
The Doom of Mylanta I would use every once in a while.
Mylanta.
And that has came in more effect now because everybody's foot-slogging across the board.
Yeah.
So you have a better chance of eating even more souls. Yumgarg Gene Stealers break the rule because they can assault after their deep strike.
Yep. One of the other things that I can actually deep strike now because it's actually in the codex that says they can. Now with 6th edition, I run two Flying Hive Tyrants. Always. I always switch out my power for Psychic Screech automatically. And then I try to get something off of Biomancy, which
you
is
hope
fun.
For Firearm.
I hope Firearm. Psychic Screech to me is just great because first turn I'm running up and there's a chance I'm killing off your Terminator squad.
How you doing, Mike?
Yeah, what's the strength on psychic? Oh, that's right. It's a pure leadership.
It's a pure thing. If you roll over your leadership, you just lose guys.
Yeah.
Does that and work on fearless?
Yes.
It's not a leadership check. It's just roll three dice and compare it to your leadership, and you lose wounds.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You take that many strength, you know, no armor save, no cover save wounds equal to. Now, I'll throw out, I know a lot of people, you know, who swear by taking those same Hive Tyrants and running, you know, double guns on, you know, two Twin Link Devourers and Brain Leech Worms on them for a dozen Strength 6 Twin Link shots on the Hive Tyrant.
Which is pretty cool, but I like having the Silent Talons, and I like having the sword and the Lash
and
Whip.
I mean, there's two ways to it. I mean, particularly since you're guaranteed, you know, throwing yourself down for Psychic Creature every time, it's not like you don't have a shooting attack.
Yep.
The main issue is you have a shooting attack that will only affect infantry.
Yep.
I'll throw out, you know, for Flying Monster Creatures, if you want to try and get behind Flyers, you know, having those the dozen Twin Link Strength 6 shots, particularly with a monster creature being able to just fly over a vehicle and then be in rear arc and firing, you know, whatever direction you want to because you're a monster creature, you don't care which way you're facing, is a nice extra way to be able to down everything with the Space Marine flying brick. But, at the same time, it's 6 and 1/2 dozen of the other. Both are good. One just gives you a little more coverage against that one particular target.
Yeah. But I've got them as my HQ, and then I go straight into the troops, which is three Trevagons, three groups of Termagants, and then I got the Doom of Mylanta. Drop pod on him, and then two Trevagons. That's 1850. I mean, that's the list hasn't changed a whole lot. I mean, it's still roughly the only way that you can competitively play them. I ran into the problem a lot where I'd like to try to do something else, but I just can't.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard a lot of people talking about null deployment nids with all this deep striking and assaulting stuff. I look at it, supposedly people make it work. I don't think, you know, I think people working make it work. It's more a strength of the player than it is a strength of the list.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say that the guy that plays it is good or bad, but we had somebody playing it, and actually wasn't that bad. I mean, it's just all he took were pods full of gaunts. And it was like 150-something gaunts, and just that coming down.
Did he have devours on him, or the...
Devours.
Devours, yeah. It was nasty.
They pumped out the shots.
Yeah.
It's so...
Yeah.
So overall, NIDs have improved across the board, but greatly from the advent of 6.
I mean, does anybody think anything got worse in NIDs? I don't think.
Gene Stealers. Gene Stealer coming on.
Yeah, outflanking Gene Stealers took it on the chin, but
I never used them anyway.
For personal preference, nobody here I think really used them. You know, they were better than they are now because they can no longer assault coming in from outflanks. So. That sort of hurts them.
Now, the old Codex, I used to love Gene Stealers because you could pay the extra points and give them a 4-up armor save so they could survive freaking bolter fire. Now you can't unless they're Yamayama Gene Stealers. And
wait, what?
Yamayama.
Yamayama.
Okay. Yamayama Gene Stealers, and they're the only ones that have a 4-up armor save.
The Gene Stealers took a bit of a hit. The Venom Thropes took a hit mostly from the standpoint of
the fact.
There was a fact that adjusted several of their abilities. Two things. Firstly, Venomthropes, previously, the way the rules were originally written, every unit that had a model within 6 inches of the Venomthropes got, defensive grenades, got a 5+ cover save, and counted as having anyone who tried to charge someone who had a model within 6 inches of Venomthropes counted as charging through dangerous terrain. Which in 5th ed was a big, was a big deal because it's, I've got 10 guys charging you. Oh, I rolled 2 ones. There's 2 dead models. 6th ed, now you get your armor saves against that, so it's giving you a lot less protection against power armor charging you to try and blow you off. Still about equivalent protection from, an orc mob, but honestly, the orc mob, the dangerous terrain was just gravy there. It wasn't really a major deterrent.
Yeah. Just going through the book. Hive Tyrant got better. Swarm Lord, Trevorgon, Tyranid Prime.
Anything that can have wings got a lot.
Yeah. Better.
Oh, the fact on the Venomthrope says the dangerous terrain thing only affects models charging the Venomthrope now, so you don't even get the wounds on anyone else now.
Just stupid. It pretty much has made that model useless.
Hormagots have get worse.
Yeah.
Hormagots did get worse because
they can't run fleet anymore.
Yeah. Rolling 3 dice for your run was better when they hit fleet than it is now that fleet doesn't mean...
I get to reroll my run?
Or your target,
it lets them move faster across the board, but honestly, I was disappointed when the Tyranid Codex came out and the Hormagots got changed from beasts to infantry.
Mm, yeah.
I think if Hormagots were still beasts with their stat line, they would be...
Beastly?
Not beastly, but a good choice, just with the ability to move 12, now they would be moving 12 whole inches every turn, ignoring terrain.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I would use them. Oh, God, I would use them.
Yeah, I want to play around with them some now. Put 20 of them in a drop pod, bring them down, go, okay, I got 20 gaunts. Either shoot at them or wait a turn for me to charge you. Your call. Or save the cost of that pod and, put another 5 to 10 down on the ground and just book it.
Yep.
Move through cover. 3 dice, take the best for your run. You'll cover some ground eventually.
So it didn't help Carnifexes any?
There's still there's two way too many points.
Yeah.
That costs so much.
If you drop 25 points off per Carnifex, they would be, playable.
Back in the day, when the last Codex, you could bring 95 points, you could bring a Doc Effects. Strength 9, was it 6 shots?
Venom Cannon.
Strength
was
9,
a,
6 shots.
Venom Cannon was a blast.
Doc Effects.
Yeah. Venom Cannon was a blast.
He had more than 6 shots, didn't he?
Devourers.
You said Doc Effects.
Yeah.
And you're saying
Strength 9, Devourers.
They
I thought the Devourer was
-1 strength. The old rule was the gun used the strength of the model.
No, I mean, I thought the Devourer was -1 strength, though.
No.
Okay.
It was -1
But anyway, not going back to the old codex, just focusing on what we have right here, just so we can sum it up fairly quickly, is this book still suffers from the inbuilt issues that it have, and overstacked elite choices, point costs being wrong, and just generally not being written well.
Like I said,
if we still had the old one, everybody would be much happier.
Like I said a long time ago,
well,
it feels like
if we still had the old NID codex with the new NID units pushed in.
I mean, like I said a long time ago, it feels like they said, Jack, go write this part. Seth, you write this. We're not going to talk to each other until we're done. We're just going to slam it all together and see what happens. It feels like that. Like there's some things in there that doesn't even make sense how they go together.
Well, and part of it is. Part of it has not been helped by facts or by, you know, for example, the 6th Ed, you know, ruling of no allies for you. Double Force Org, you know, at 2K, they can, you know, assuming you're playing something that isn't banning Double Force Org, they can at least mitigate the chokehold they've got in the elites.
But at that point, you don't care about elites if you're running a Double Force Org at 2,000 points. You bring 9 Trevagons.
It's true. At that point, you say, what?
You are a swarm of monstrous creatures. And Carnifexes.
Before there, it was two big lists. There was Nidzilla, and there was just Horde.
Yeah.
Now I'm feel when this codex came out, it was a mix of you had to mix it. You had to do Nidzilla with Horde, and it's really hard to find that balance. And it still is kind of hard to find that balance because just the way things cost. But the nice thing about the flying high tyrants is that we can get up in people's face really, really fast, and they don't know what to do. Do I take out the baby poopers? Do I go for the thing that's in my face that's going to eat my entire squad when it touches me? You know, it's just...
Do I spend shots on the, you know, small griblies that are on the ground right now?
Oh, look, there's double what there was on the board when I started.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing I love about the NIDs is that there's just so much going on. People don't know what to do. And when they finally figure out what they got to do, you're on them and you're done.
Isn't that kind of the point?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I like them, though, is what I'm saying.
I would like... to see a new NID codex this year just to fix some of the inequities and the problems in the codex currently. But I would like to see it done in a way that is balanced with the current theme of codexes they've put out, like Dark Angels, Chaos, etc.
Yeah,
like,
and I'll throw out, by comparison with Chaos or Dark Angels, I don't feel like the NIDs are that bad a codex. Now, by comparison with a lot of the 5th Ed ones, which tend to be a lot more on the break face, strong, ridiculous every time they came out, you know, I can see the NIDs just sort of slouching a little bit. But, you know...
Yeah, that's why I said... That's something I've said for a while, is that the very first 6th Edition Codex was the Tyranid Codex.
I can see that as an argument.
The way I look at it is that the two Codex we have, Chaos, Dark Angels, all try hard to get synergy going within the army. Everything works off everything. That is mandatory in the Tyranid Codex, which is what, in my belief, is
well,
the strength for it.
It's not just mandatory, and in many cases, it doesn't work well with itself. I mean, the example that I think everyone here has complained about at one point is the reserve boost you get for putting a Lictor in your army. Pheromone Trail. Lictors give +1 to your reserve rolls when they're on the table. Except that they start in reserve, and that bonus only works when they're on the table. So it's... If it comes in on turn 2, then all your reserves for the following turns get bonuses, which in 6th edition is pretty meaningless, because that means you get a +1 for anything that's trying to come in on turn 3.
Yep.
At which point, why did you even bother burning your elite slot on that? Why not just pay points to have the, you know, the tyrant bonus, or just not bother, because you come in on 3s now in 6th ed anyway.
And on top of that, the thing with NIDs is, the thing that makes NIDs harder to play, there's so many little things you have to remember every turn. When do I poop out my gaunts? When do I cast my psychic powers? When do I do this? When do I do that? And if you do it wrong, you screw yourself majorly.
Yeah.
I mean, it... Go.
I wanted to make the point... I thought Duncan was going to make this point. Or maybe he was getting there and just didn't finish. But he was talking about the two newest codexes with the Dark Angels and the Chaos... where we mentioned earlier that, I mean, there are lots of builds you can play in there. That's a problem with the NID book. Everybody plays the same build because that is the one that works. And there aren't any others that work.
Yeah.
No, it's that is something I was actually about to get to. It's not a very flexible codex.
Looks like I mentioned
there are so many options in there, just the options don't work. I mean, Tyrannifex. When was the last time you saw someone bring one?
Yeah.
I don't even know what a Tyrannifex is, so there you go.
It's a great big...
It's a big cannon.
Well, you know the kit that makes the Turbogon? It's the other model you can make with that kit. It comes with
a gun on the back.
I've never seen one of those.
Yeah.
Case in point.
It's the only one that comes with a 2-up save. It can buy a strength 10 2-shot gun, but it's ballistic skill 3.
And it's got like a 24-inch range or something.
It's got a 24-inch range.
Oh, and it's got a hideous point cost.
Yeah.
Yeah, it costs 250 base.
It's a Land Raider.
It costs like a Land Raider.
And it's not a Synapse creature.
It's not Synapse. It has 6 wounds, so you got 6 2-up wounds.
It's a Tyranid monster.
And that's something else with them you have to figure out. You have to learn how to balance your Synapse creatures.
Yeah.
Which is why I always take the Trigon Primes. It's a Synapse inches. Creature. It's got 18-inch Synapse.
Yeah. Because you got that much, you got one extra.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, because you can't have run into the problem of, oh god, I just don't have enough, these things fell out of coverage and now they're not doing what I need them to do.
Oh, Synapse, we just got fact.
Oh.
What was that?
I'm about to smash a bottle over Mike's head.
I'll pay money to see that. I've got a dollar.
Wait, yeah. You got the beat stick?
I have the beat stick.
And then, of course, no codex, no discussion of Tyranids can be complete without the Pyrovore. What the fuck?
Yeah, what the hell were they thinking?
The fuck were they thinking?
Yeah, it was that Pyrovore turtle male stuff on it.
I mean, you take,
the
say,
genitalia
ignoring
rocket.
The fact that ignoring the fact that the model is ugly, you pay 45 points for it. Oh, yeah, ugly as sin. You pay 45 points for it.
You're understating things a little bit, sir.
Yeah, well, I'm that kind of guy. You pay 45 points for the thing, and you get a strength 5 AP4 flamer. You get a heavy flamer with 2 wounds, toughness 4, and a 4-up armor save.
Can you put him in one of those pod?
Yes. Oh yeah, you can take up to 3 of them, and you can put him in a pod. So
spore pod.
You can,
I was so, spod. One word, okay? Spod.
Spod.
Here, no longer spore pods.
Let me give you your completely rare, shitty basis of comparison here. You put 3 of these guys into my set X4. You spent, call it about 180 points to deep strike into my set X4. Have 3 heavy flamers come out and go burn, burn, burn. How many Chaos Demon flamers can you get for?
More.
More.
How many wounds do those guys have?
2. More.
2 per model.
How effective are they?
Better.
How many Chaos Demon flamers can go with the Tyranids?
All of them?
None.
I mean, none.
Yeah.
Why? Because they only get to ally when it's the time.
Well, and the thing is, it's so ridiculous, even when you compare it internally with Codex. I mean, you go one page over, you're looking at Hive Guard. 50 points per model.
Mm-hmm.
You get 2 strength 8 shots at ballistic skill 4 out to a 24-inch range on a 2-wound creature with toughness 6.
That you don't even have to see.
That doesn't need line of sight and ignores all cover saves unless you're physically touching a piece of terrain.
I'd rather have Scout Marines.
For 5 more points.
With a cannon.
I mean, even assuming the weapons work, 5 more points buying you toughness 6.
I would rather have Gene Sealer Cultists.
Yeah, can they ride around in a pink limo?
Yes. Or a purple limo.
What's the matter, Jack?
Hey, Mike. Need to convert limos for our cultists.
Yes, we do.
Okay, so...
This is a good idea.
Do we have anything else to add about Tyranids?
I'm so really thrilled. Excited about Phil Kelly writing a new codex, because anything will be better than this crap.
Jack,
who wrote this
on Zoanthropes?
I did.
I haven't seen them in forever.
You're welcome.
What?
I haven't seen Zoanthropes in a long, long time.
There's 6 of them in a box back in the back.
They're also
Can
on
I
the
have
shelf.
Them?
Huh?
Can I have them?
No.
Okay.
Who wrote this codex?
Me.
Krodagy.
Other than you. Krodagy?
Me and James.
Yeah, it was the next codex he wrote after IG.
IG is IG Matt
was
Ward,
his hit.
Sir.
Don't think so. I'm pretty
IG
sure.
IG is Matt Ward, sir.
All right, here we go.
Give it a second. Betty's looking it up.
This was beaten into me a while back. On the podcast.
And here we go.
Credits.
Robin Crotus.
Oh, Duncan was wrong.
Robin Crotus.
Oh, time. Yes.
Blood Angels was Matt.
Yeah.
Boy. We already
Matt
beat him
Ward
down.
Was, yeah, Matt Ward was throwing out all the ridiculous, was throwing out ridiculous power armor codexes. He did Blood Angels. He did Grey Knights. Phil Kelly did Space Wolves. Krodagy did IG.
Why did you not believe me?
And then Nids.
Krodagy. I thought it was Man, what for some stupid
no.
reason?
You know, Garb was the one he hit out. Garb was the one Rick Karachi hit out of the park. Nids was, you know, generally a, you know, a flop, and I feel like he did one more after Nids, but I can't remember what it was. It might, you know, do you know who did Dark Eldar?
Let me look.
Too loud.
I don't have it on me. Crap.
I don't care unless he writes what.
That one's on my desktop.
You got two current ones.
I mean, the desk that my computer's on.
Uh huh.
Or I mean, the iPad I have with me that I bought UK. Or...
Oh wait. I can tell you here. Thank you, Betty.
Duncan.
Phil Kelly.
Really?
Okay.
What is this?
Thank you, Jack.
Sit on top of it. This is not
a problem.
Do I need to take this with me so you don't forget it?
Yeah, so I think that's... Well, we're good on Nids.
Yeah.
To murder you?
They changed some things, but they got a lot of things got better. Fearless.
Yeah.
But they're not really flexible still.
No. Right. I mean, basically, you know, Turfagons are pretty much a mandatory troop choice because... Yeah.
Just because there's
most of the other troops are mediocre, and Turtagons are just so good.
There's certain things they can break, like where we were looking at a double four sword list for Jack. In 2,000 points, you could have 10 Turtagons.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, you could.
Yep, that's about at least 100 gaunts a turn.
About.
Also known as critical mass.
Yes.
Also known as better bring a second bucket.
Yep.
Second bucket. More like a bucket.
Jack's bucket, that'll go to be completely depleted after 1.5.
How many gaunts do you own, Jack?
Not enough to run that list for
I'm
full,
not asking,
full game.
I'm just asking how many.
I'm going to figure out.
About 150.
Yeah,
you need more.
I don't need more.
See if a turn's worth of gaunts? Huh?
He has a turn's worth, and he doesn't even have enough for deploying everything.
I really want to borrow the models to do a 2K double four sword nid.
If he does that, he needs
using 10 Turtagons.
For 175.
Because if he does that, he needs 60 gaunt space, so he wouldn't have enough.
Tom Weasley.
All right, so we're good with nids, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think we're good.
For episode XVI of Battle Plan Roll Sixes, this is Duncan.
So. Why, the L8 bottle is not a microphone. Do not point it at me.
I would, but it wants to talk to you.
Oh, okay. Hi, L8 bottle.
Hi, Seth. Say something, you son of a bitch.
Bye. Good night, people.
Good night, everybody.
Who are you?
I'm James. Good night, everybody.
Mike.
Betsy.
Jack, wish you all a good night and good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah, we all need it.
Cause haters gonna hate and clanners gonna clan.
What?
What the heck? Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
So now apparently we're a Battletech podcast. The only one in existence. Woohoo!
I'll be okay with that.
Number one of number one.